Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The darkest day in the lives of the apostles and the followers of Jesus was the day that came soon after the words we've just heard spoken by St. Thomas, a day we now call Good Friday. The entire discourse of the Gospel according to St. John in that context is called the farewell discourse because Jesus was saying goodbye to the men who had walked with him as his disciples for 3 years. They had seen him turn water into wine. They had seen him multiply loaves and fishes. They had seen him walk on water. They had seen him heal the blind, the deaf, and the mute. They had watched him welcome children, comfort outcasts, console widows, teach thousands, and confront corrupt leaders. Most amazing of all, though, to them, I'm sure, was that by the time he had said to them that he was departing, he had also called them no more servants, but now friends. Now he was going to depart, and he had been explicit about what they would witness in the next few days, but they had not been listening carefully at all. And now Thomas had had enough of this positive talk about him going away, about it being expedient for them if he went away. And the last straw was Jesus telling them, "Whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know." Thomas blurted out, "We don't know where you're going. And if we don't know where you're going, we certainly don't know the way." The darkest day of the disciples was that Good Friday, where they saw Jesus condemned and beaten and crucified. Consider, though, that perhaps more horrifying than that scene of death was the recollection of the words of the crucified one, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Terrible was the thought, seeing Jesus hanging on the cross, that he could have been wrong about his destiny, but not nearly as terrible as the possibility that he was right. The possibility that following Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, could bring a person to such a scene as what they saw at Golgotha. And they did what I venture to say any of us would have done if we had been his disciples on that day. They ran and hid. They hid behind locked doors out of fear for their own safety and well-being, not to mention their sanity. They could not have understood what Jesus meant by calling himself the way, the truth, and the life until that Easter Sunday. The disciples still hiding behind locked doors out of fear, they suddenly understood what their Lord meant. Risen from the grave and victorious over death, Jesus was not only a vision of their own future, their own path, not only an apparition of a future hope or even a gospel message about new life. Our resurrected Lord, Jesus himself, is the way, the truth, and the life. Not long before all this, the sisters of Lazarus complained to Jesus that if he had been there a few days earlier, their brother would not have died. They expressed their knowledge that one day there would be a general resurrection, but Jesus then focused their faith on that day, as he should focus our faith on days like this, saying to them as he prepared to raise Lazarus from the dead, "I am the resurrection and the life." Lazarus was raised from the dead to the great joy and relief of those who grieved his loss, but that resurrection was just a prophecy, a sign of what was yet to come. Lazarus was raised to life from the dead, but Jesus is the resurrection and the life. No one has ever been saved because of the resurrection of Lazarus. But that first Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the saving act of God for all time, for the human race. And his ascension into heaven again made him not only the author, but the finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ was and is a great teacher and a holy man. Jesus, though, is God incarnate. And in that incarnation, he took all humanity up into himself, so that when you see Lazarus raised, you see a prophecy, one man raised. But when you see Jesus Christ raised, you see your salvation. You see the way, the truth, and the life. Those who are baptized into the body of Christ and are faithful followers of him die with him and are raised with him, first in the spiritual life, and then finally, truly, in the physical body as well. There is a cross. There is a passion. There is a death. There is a separation. We know this all too well today. But there is a resurrection. There is a reunion. And there is life everlasting. That is the way, the truth, and the life. And the sooner you know that to be Jesus Christ, the better. Susan Hamlet knew and believed in Jesus Christ. She knew him to be the way, the truth, and the life. And it is no coincidence that she found such meaningful work in her life and career, drawn always to console the suffering of the most innocent souls, those children facing terrifying diagnoses. She was a nurse in pediatric oncology, truly ministering to those ones who needed, more than anything, to speak to someone with true hope. Not only children, but indeed anyone who knew Susan would find that there was consolation in her presence. If you are a member of St. George's and have ever received flowers from the church after the loss of a family member or at a time of suffering, it was often the instinct of Susan Hamlet that sensed the need and arranged the delivery of those flowers as she headed up the benevolence ministry of our church for several years. And if you are searching for a church, visiting St. George's with the longing to come in and out of the wilderness, it was often Susan Hamlet that made you feel welcome, invited you into the parish hall to meet the church family. And if you are a recipient of Meals on Wheels in Greer, you may not have known it, but Susan probably made your ham and cheese sandwich. Bill operated the vacuum seal machine, as I'm told, but she worked on those loving meals. Who ever felt anything but hospitality, welcome, and love from Susan? On the Sunday before she died, we were able to celebrate communion at her bedside. And on that day, though in less than 2 days she would be gone, she was nevertheless still conversant. And knowing that our seminarian Lucas and I had just come from church where many people had been served, slightly embarrassed by the attention paid just to her individually, she asked with a smile and meaning to evoke laughter, "Well, Father Paul, am I special?" Bill knows better than anyone the answer to that question. But anyone who knows Susan could have easily answered the question, "Yes, Susan, you are special." She did not need assurance at that moment. She did not need us to tell her that she was special. She was joking. She knew that she had followed the way. She knew that she had believed the truth. And she was ready to meet the life everlasting. She knew that this was not especially for her. She was experiencing her own Good Friday, no doubt. Her hour had come and the time of her death was near. There would be a suffering, there would be a cross, there would be a death, and there will be a burial today. But the way is Jesus Christ, and the truth is not only the truth of Good Friday, but of Easter morning, a resurrection yet to come. And the life which is our hope is a resurrected life everlasting, not just for Susan, who was very special, but for all who live and die in Christ. The disciples were terrified to see Jesus die because they did not yet know the resurrection. Likewise, we may fear death and may mourn as the disciples did on that day, but no longer, may we mourn as those without hope. St. Paul writes to the Thessalonians what we believe today. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For those who dwell in Christ, there can be no darkness any longer as there was on that first Good Friday, because the death of that day was swallowed up in victory. It is evermore called Good Friday. And likewise, as we bury our beloved sister today, there can be no true darkness on this day, for she is welcomed by the risen Lord and now shares in the victory of Christ, in the presence of the saints in light, awaiting as we do the final resurrection of our bodies into the everlasting life of Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.